Oh, fuck.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday, June the 29th, the current year, because it's the current year. Trudeau says he would knock out Putin in a fist fight. Sure, that'll happen. That'd be awesome.
Oh, I will pay to fucking see that.
So, like, Putin is like this badass old grizzly Russian guy. But I mean, you know,
was,
I think Trudeau is,
he
is pretty
I'm sure
big.
He knows what he's doing. I mean,
who would not pay-per-view that fight?
Oh, I'd pay-per-view
that right now. I'm sure Trudeau would get his ass handed to him.
XKGB versus ski instructor. Part-time ski instructor. How's this gonna go?
Hey, I think he did, like, that boxing match that one time.
Yep.
So, as I was saying, this is the show about stuff like that interests me, like presidential fistfights.
Oh man, I can see a whole new line of television shows.
Can we need to call up MTV. We need the rights to Celebrity Deathmatch and the Claymation guys, because we're gonna do it with presidents.
Come on, man! It's the current year. They should do it face to face in person.
Oh, that'd be great.
None of this Claymation stuff.
Yeah.
Come on, man! Right. I'd love to see Angela Merkel go at it with Theresa May.
I wouldn't mind seeing that new South Korean guy go up against Trump. You know, President Moon or whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, yeah. That would be interesting.
That'd be fun to watch.
I would pay to see that, yeah.
Because Trump's not going to be very fast, but I imagine it's going to take more than a couple hits to take him down, you know? He's a big guy.
He may have a glass jaw, though.
And he might. Well, he was on wrestling. I mean, he tackled somebody on... I forget who it was he tackled.
He got his ass kicked by somebody, too.
Yeah, he's got his ass kicked by Stone Cold, if I remember.
He may not be all that good in a fight. He's got such tiny hands.
God. That was not the right sound effect, but it kind of works. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled intro. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like existing as a creature of rage, frustration, and alcoholism, information security, and bad cyberpunk fiction. I'm Morps. Who do we have tonight? Tonight we have everybody making fun of presidential fistfights. I'm drinking Evan Williams Blended. Are you? What are you drinking?
Nothing. I'm good. I'm being good.
You're being good?
Yeah.
Madman, what are we drinking?
Cast Strength Makers.
Nice. Static, what have you got?
A fistful of pills. No alcohol.
That's an odd combination for you.
Some of the pills work better with alcohol. It says so on the label.
Yes, yes, yes.
The word warning doesn't really mean what I think it does anymore, does it?
No.
It means warning. Try this.
All it says is warning. Alcohol may increase. It doesn't say it will. It says may increase.
May. Like I'm a gambling man.
That could roll. Work better.
Gambling, I'm in.
Gambling, yeah. I'm in. Psychros is making fun of me for picking up Evan Williams. It's interesting. I actually had a much more expensive bottle of bourbon in my hands, and the guy working there was like, you know, you really ought to try this. It's actually pretty good for the price. I'm like, all right, well, whatever. It's not bad, but it's not. Yeah, it's no Woodford's. It's not equal rare. Hell, it's not even Jim Beam.
That's why they sell them in the gallon bottles. More.
That's true. That is true.
But it's doing its job.
This is the blended stuff, so it's slightly better than their, than the gallon jugger. But yeah, the guy was like, "Oh no, here, try this." I'm like, "Okay." I was going to buy a $45 bottle of whiskey, but you hand me a $15 one and say it's just as good. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know that that's true, but
it'll get you smashed. That's what he should have said.
It'll do that.
Sir, this will get you smashed.
That guy really missed the first day of sales training.
Yeah,
always
really
upsell
did.
A customer.
I really did. But it's not bad, so it's all right. Thought I'd try it, if nothing else, you know. So, I don't know. Now I'm trying to think of other world leaders who could pit against each other in the octagon. You imagine MMA fights between, like,
the king of Saudi Arabia versus,
Kim Jong-un.
There you go.
Nice. I was trying to think of some of them South African guys, because that'd be at least an interesting
fight. Dude, I would back the Filipino leader right now. Like, that guy is nuts. He's like a bag of snakes.
Oh, he is. You're right, because he keeps
he should be the one fighting Putin.
Oh, dude, he's only 5'6", but I reckon he could take him.
So, I wonder how hard it would be to edit faces from video over MMA fights. I just had an idea for a YouTube channel. Anyways,
that's actually a really good idea. And you should...
Every Middle Eastern leader needs to be paced over Roddy Rousey or some chick.
Have to do some really creative editing to get Theresa May in there.
Oh no, we could start up the autistic league of fighting.
I think they did that. It's called Bum Fights. I'm pretty sure those guys got arrested.
Damn it.
Anyway. What country we do this in?
Morse, what did you say you were drinking?
Evan Williams blended.
Ah, okay. No. Next time you go, I had to go grab my bottle to see. Heaven Hill 6-year-old bottle. Let me tell you what. What sold me was the guy that handed it to me said, "You will get plastered with this. I guarantee it."
Challenge accepted, sir.
That's exactly what I said. And he was right. The stuff was good, and it lit me up.
So, lead story tonight is from Leaping Computer.
Hold on. You forgot to ask Suave. What's he drinking?
I did ask Suave.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, you missed me. I've been waiting patiently.
Shit, I'm sorry. I'm drunk.
I'm currently about three quarters through a bottle of prison quality banana wine. And to start out, it tasted so vile, but it's actually starting to taste pretty good right now.
It's doing its job as well.
I've been meaning to ask you about doing that kind of shit, Suave, because I was reading about like getting, you know, stupid quantities of like that fast acting yeast they use for making vodka in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently people would just dump that shit in like a bottle of fruit juice and leave it in the corner for a day, and then it turns into something amazing.
Everybody's gone blind.
You only go blind if you start distilling it. But yeah, like seriously, like making booze is one of the easiest things to do in the world.
Oh,
you don't even need to add yeast. You could just like make some sort of a juice thing and leave it on the counter with no lid on it. And odds are you will have alcohol
okay.
in like a week.
I want to make good alcohol, not a botulism cocktail.
Well, you know, if the wild yeast takes root, you know, and that's not always the case because other things can get in there first. But if the yeast colonizes first, then yeah, nothing else can outcompete it. And the alcohol keeps everything else away.
Yeah, I would rather like cheat and go ahead and put the yeast in the bottle.
See, this is where you guys made the mistake. You do this after you get married. That way they can't leave.
So, all right.
Baking yeast and Hawaiian punch.
You go right ahead and let me know how that work turns out for you. I'm going to try to get some actual brewer's yeast. So, all right, now on to this story that pisses me off. This is from Bleeping Computer. The $1 million ransom payment paid last week by South Korean web hosting company Nanya Nanya or Nene? I don't know. Their name looks like something that, you know, like kids would use to taunt each other. By a South Korean web hosting company, Nanya, or Nanyan. Nanyan? I don't know how to say that word. I'm sorry, I'm American. Has sparked new extortion attempts on South Korean companies. According to local media, seven banks have received emails that ask organizations to pay ransoms of nearly $315,000 or suffer downtime via DDoS attacks. Only five of the seven targets are publicly known, which are also the company's biggest financial institutions. KB Kukin Bank, Shinhan Bank, Woori Bank, KEB Hana Bank, and NH Bank. The ransom demands were signed by a group of Armada Collective, a name that has a long history behind it. The group first appeared in 2015. Yeah, long history there. They're considered one of the hacking groups that popularized random DDoS attacks alongside other group known as DD4BC, or DDoS for Bitcoin. While Europol apprehends subjects behind the DD4BC group, the people behind Armada Collective were never caught, and their tactics seem to have evolved over time. Radware, a cybersecurity company that tracks our DDoS attacks on a consistent basis, says the group has gone through two main stages. At the beginning, the group targeted a small number of targets, all from the same industry, and launched demo DDoS attacks to prove their claims to force the hand of victims into paying the ransom. After successful extortion of the Proton Mail secure email service in late 2015, they got a lot of media attention. The group appears to have gone into hiding and then returned in 2016. You know, assuming somebody else didn't just pick up the name and start using it. This time around, the group's tactics have changed, again, leading credence to the idea that somebody's just picked up the name. And Armada Collective, or imposters posting as the group, have only made empty threats, targeting large number of companies all at the same time from different sectors, and rarely launched any actual DDoS attacks to prove their claims. Armada Collective's DDoS attacks in 2016 were hardly noticed because the group and DD4BC's success, numerous other actors had entered the DDoS random market niche, such as New World Hackers, Lizard Squad, copycats of the original Lizard Squad, apparently. Katie Offeracy? I don't know how to say that. Red Door, EasyBTC, Boyer Collective, and others. Most of these groups issued empty threats, a common theme with our DDoS groups in 2016, and continued in 2017. New groups such as Stealth Ravens, XMR Squad, ZZ Boot, Meridian Collective, X-Ball Team, and Collective Amadeus? Collective Amadeus. That's a weird one. Further, I'm thinking these are like old BBS like release groups, like guys who used to do the art releases or even wares groups. I mean, that's where all these names sound like to me. I don't know about you guys. Furthermore, empty DDoS threats. So, okay, I'm going to just stop here. In short version, there's a ton of groups out there that are saying, pay us in Bitcoin or we will DDoS you. And Armada Collective got paid over $1 million by a South Korean web hosting company. And so I don't know if they were ever actually going to launch a DDoS attack or if they just made an empty threat and made, you know, $1 million off of it. So now you're going to have an amazing amount of noise targeting all kinds of companies, pay us or we'll DDoS you. And there's probably going to be more people who pay it. So it's just going to create an environment where a lot of people are going to be paying protection rackets. And it's not going to be like the old mafia protection racket where if you were paying one group, they actually would protect you from other groups so you'd keep paying them. This is all just random bullshit on the internet, right? So there will be DDoSes, and the fact that somebody's paid them means that this kind of bullshit's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually starting to almost seem like the norm for places to just pay the ransom.
Which is terrible, because
just have backups, guys. It's not rocket science.
Well, I mean, DDoSing
is ransomware,
not even...
This is DDoSing, isn't it? So their server would be down for so many...
There are actually ways
yeah,
to deal with
sorry,
DDoS.
DDoSing, right, yeah. Yeah, but
yeah,
yeah
you're thinking ransomware. That. And sorry, that's the next article. Don't worry, we've
disconnect
got that one
too. Here. But, yeah. But, even same thing with DDoS, though. Like, you can deal with that.
You can. Go ahead, Sadek.
I was going to say, a couple things that I heard, though, were, one, you don't even know if they were going to DDoS to start with. So yeah, yes. You know, why even pay it to start with? Got that part. Two, though, is it hurting anything, though, to pay it?
Yeah.
You're losing $1 million.
Okay.
And there's, like, a larger societal benefit to not paying it. Like, if you do pay it, like, you're encouraging that sort of behavior, and then you're going to see that group continue and other groups do the same. You know, if nobody paid it, they wouldn't do it anymore.
Oh, we don't negotiate with terrorists out in the open. You don't tell people you paid it, you fucking idiots. Just pay it and move on. Don't make a big deal of it.
Well, right, because whereas the one group will continue, now there's going to be... I mean, any idiot out there is going to try to copycat this, right? They're like, "Oh, I can make that thread out. It's an empty email and it's an email address and a Bitcoin address, right?" So, I mean, shit. I almost wonder how well you would do if you just set up a Bitcoin address and did a spam campaign saying, "Email me or I'll shut your computer down."
I don't know. Let's find out this afternoon, Morps.
Well, let's see. Set takes about 10 minutes to set up. I actually have a testing domain that we could use. The domain name's a little bit obvious, but that'd make it even more interesting if it worked.
So is there any evidence, though, that they actually paid them?
They announced they did. Last week, Armada Collective's name resurfaced after a long period of silence. The ransom demands were sent, not surprisingly, just 2 days after the news broke in the international press that a South Korean web hosting company paid over $1 million in a ransomware demand. So, I misread this. This is worse. They paid the $1 million for the ransomware, not for the DDoS threat. So, yeah, okay. That also pisses me off that they paid the fucking ransom, because now it's not just DDoS threats and random emails. Now you're going to have fucking malware going around, because people are going to grab a kit, write a ransomware, and throw it out there. And, I mean, because, you know, that shit's easy, by the way. I don't know if anybody's ever actually looked into it. It's not fucking hard. It's really not. So now you're going to have all kinds of ransomware variants floating around, people trying to get their payday. And, I mean, you know, shit, it's not like anybody ever actually gets the decryption keys from paying these things. At least I've never heard of it.
It's a possibility, but you know, like I have read about that it's totally feasible, but
it's rare. Oh, come on, you know that's rare.
Oh yeah, but like I feel like there should be more released that just trash your shit and don't actually give you anything for paying. Then maybe everybody will stop paying.
Well, we can go ahead and roll into the next one. I mean, that is the next one from BBC.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, yeah, we'll just do them both in the, longer discussion, whatever. This show is supposed to have sections. Bullshit, right? The next one, it's from BBC. Companies across the globe are reporting they have been struck by a major ransomware cyber attack. Where's my button? British advertising agency WPP is among those to say its IT systems have been disrupted as a consequence. The virus, the source of which is not yet known, freezes the user's computer and demands an untraceable ransom be paid in the digital Bitcoin currency. Bitcoin is not untraceable. Why do people think that? Bitcoin,
like,
in fact, logs everything.
Traceable.
I mean, granted, there's no guarantee that a Bitcoin address is tied to an actual person identity, but I mean, you can see every Bitcoin transaction.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Ukrainian firms, including the state power company and Kiev's main airport, were among the first to report issues. The Chernobyl nuclear power plant also had to monitor radiation levels manually after its Windows-based sensors were shut down. The Chernobyl power plant was running Windows.
Yeah, but they had to do it manually. They had to do it manually. How are they going to figure out if little Billy's got cancer? It won't surface for years.
In a statement, the U.S. National Security Council said government agencies were investigating the attack and the U.S. was determined to hold those responsible accountable. I don't have an appropriate sound effect. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security advised victims not to pay the ransom, saying there was no guarantee that access to the files would be restored. The Russian antivirus firm Kaspersky said that its analysis showed there had been about 2,000 attacks, mostly in Ukraine, Russia, and Poland. The international police organization Interpol said it was closely monitoring the situation. How? And liaisoning with its member countries. Experts suggest that the malware is taking advantage of the same weaknesses used by the WannaCry attack last month. It initially appeared to be a variant piece of ransomware that emerged last year, said computer scientist Professor Alan Woodward. The ransomware called Petra and is an updated version of PetraRap. However, that's not so clear. So they've been picking this malware apart. They originally thought it was a variant of an old one. Now they don't know. Kaspersky is reported to believe the malware to be a new ransomware and has not yet seen it before, decided its resemblance to Petra. As a result, Kaspersky is now calling it not Petra.
I love that name. It's Petra. Now it's not Petra.
Smoke weed every day.
It's Coke. Now it's new Coke.
Kaspersky added that it had detected suspected attacks in Poland, Italy, Germany, France, and the U.S., in addition to the U.K., Russia, and the Ukraine. Andriy Bysarevich, a spokesman for security firm Recorded Future, told the BBC such attacks would not stop because cyber thieves found them to be too lucrative. They're correcting me in the chat room that it should have been drink vodka every day, but I don't have that sound clip. I have the Snoop Dogg sound clip. I don't have a vodka sound clip. If somebody's got like a good Bacardi sound clip, let me know, or even better, send a link, because then I'll add it to the soundboard. It'll be right up there with one of these guys.
Psycho should just make his own audio clip and send it to you.
Hey, that'd be great. Then I wouldn't have to chop it up. South Korean hosting firm just paid $1 million to get their data back, and that's a huge incentive, he said. It's the biggest incentive you could offer to a cyber criminal. A Bitcoin wallet associated with the outbreak has received several payments since the outbreak began. The wallet currently holds over 3.5 bitcoins, about $8,670 at the time the article was written. That's probably changed since then, because Bitcoin and Ethereum values have been all over the map the past couple of days. I mean, Suave, I know you watch some of this stuff too.
Yeah, you know, I'm figuring it's probably gonna be hitting its decline phase here pretty quick. It's the graph has looked pretty vertical here for the last little while. That's not a sustainable thing. That's my professional financial opinion on the matter. The line was going uppy. Now it's going down.
You see this all the time with these malware attacks. When the ransomware hits heavy and starts hitting the news, the value of Bitcoin seems to skyrocket.
Yeah,
and it'll work its way back down over time. So let's see. So here's all they've got a list in the article of all the problems they know of that have been caused by this ransomware. The people affected by the aircraft manufacturer Antonov and two postal services, Russia's biggest oil producer Rosneft, Danish shipping company Maersk, including its container shipping, oil and gas, and drilling operations. A port in Mumbai is among those that has halted operations. Pennsylvania hospital operator Heritage Valley Health System, which reported its computer network was down, causing operations to be delayed. And it's not yet clear if it's subject to the same type of attack. So you're delaying operations. This malware could actually literally be killing people.
Because there are
emergency operations you cannot delay because somebody's going to die if you don't do them.
We really need like hospital network security initiative or something.
Called air gapping. I believe it could be called air gapping.
It is, in fact, called air gapping. You are correct, Madman. That is probably the best thing to do for those kind of systems. Spanish food giant Mondelez, whose brands include Oreo and Toblerone, according to the country's media. A Cadbury factory in Tasmania, Australia, is also affected.
It's nowhere near Easter.
It's still the chocolate factory, dude. I mean, are you? You're an Australian expert. Where else does your chocolate come from besides this factory? We've lost. Are you?
Yep. Goats. He was going to say goats. Crocodiles, some venomous snakes.
A Netherlands-based shipping company, TNT, which said some of its systems needed remediation. French construction materials company, Saint-Gobain. U.S. pharmaceutical makers, Merck. they affected Merck? Good luck. They're going to have you shot. I mean... Law offices of law firm DLA Piper. A sign in the firm's Washington, D.C. office said, please remove all laptops from docking stations and keep turned off, no exceptions. Damn. Shut the company down. There's ransomware going around. So, yeah, they're digging into this more, but it's... This one is believed to just be purely destructive because apparently they've already shut the email address associated with the Bitcoin address down. So, I mean, it's Bitcoin. You can still pay it, but you're not going to get the code.
Yeah, like it overwrites your master boot record and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, because they put that custom message in the master boot record, right? So, why did I paste that again? Anyways, doesn't matter. This one actually tries to encrypt the whole drive, whereas WannaCry was just doing file level encryption. So, on the one hand, that's good because most companies use shared file hosting, so they have like a SAN or a NAS or something, and do a whole bunch of SMB shares for people to work out of. So since it's killing the computer and rebooting it and encrypting the drive, that means it's not going to go attacking your network shares, but it means that the drive is toast. So yeah, backups, people. This is why you have backups, so that you can just, you know, give the ransomware guys the middle finger, restore your machines, and move on with life.
And patch the problem.
And well, solving the problem. Drown the guy in the river. Problem solved. Anyways,
it seems just decent IT IT policies would solve ransomware. Is there a good defense against DDoS?
There is. It's called distributed hosting. The way it works is you use a CDN, you get all of your content set up so that you have multiple hosts in multiple regions, so that if they DDoS one of them, which is usually what will happen, you just flip the primary services over to the secondary and distribute the traffic out. It depends on the size of the DDoS, though. Smaller DDoS, you can get away with doing that. Larger DDoS, the problem becomes not so much your hosting, but the infrastructure in front of your hosting. You can DDoS switches, for example, right? You just send so much traffic through the switches that they start dropping frames or routes or, you know, whatever network hardware you're looking at. They'll actually start dropping packets so that they can keep up. And if you can fill it with so much garbage that all it's dropping is the new legitimate traffic, that's an effective DDoS without, you know, exhausting the server that you're targeting, because you're beating up the infrastructure in front of it. Assuming the ISPs and your hosting company is doing their job, that should be difficult to do, but if that's the size of the DDoS you're looking at, because your DNS has to point somewhere. Now, there's round-robin DNS where you put several addresses, you know, in for your primary domain, so if the first one doesn't work, you just reload and it pulls the next one in order. But it's not intelligent load balancing, so it's not going to see that one of them's, you know, getting overloaded. So you're still going to have people hitting the region that's getting DDoSed. So, unfortunately, the only real solution to DDoS is to throw bandwidth at the problem. Just try to give enough space for the DDoS to happen. If you get lucky, you'll figure out a way to identify the traffic that's from the DDoS and not legitimate, so that you can filter it out and drop it, which will help. But if it's a good DDoS, that's exceedingly difficult to do. Like, if it's all coming from one place, that's really easy, right? You just drop everything from that IP. Or if all the DDoS has, Python as an example, as its user agent string, or, you know, some other known default that's not a web browser as its user agent string, you can just drop that traffic as it comes in, so you're not wasting your server resources. You put a packet filter in front of it of some sort and do what you can. There are services. There are different CDNs you can sign up with. Cloudflare is the obvious one, which they actually give out a free account, which makes me think that they're given the nature of their business and the way it works, because you pipe all network traffic through them before it hits your server, and it's free, I always kind of made me question whether or not they were...
They're like, collecting your data and selling it to people.
Yeah, or they're with the CIA and they're just spying on everybody. I don't know. I had that conspiracy theory a while back, but...
That could be kind of good. They're providing a needed service and cutting government expense on spying. I'm fine with this. I'm just not going to use that service.
Of course you are,
Madman. That's awesome.
And remember, I'm in the U.S. It's illegal for you to spy on me when I use your service.
Well, if somebody from somewhere else on the in the world, is connecting to the same service you are, therefore we can capture your data. Because you could be having a conversation with them.
Yeah, but I should be anonymized properly.
Yeah, all them Canadian and Australian terrorists floating around there.
I want to be properly anonymized. Until you get the warrant, motherfucker. Warrant.
Hey, dude, you must open your borders. Australia is war torn, and we need fucking to be refugees.
I'm fine with that.
Australian cultural... You know what? I would be fine with Australian cultural enrichment. Bring the fucking beer.
we're just going to slowly kill you with poutine and maple syrup.
I've got a...
Oh, did you see that article about Tim Hortons?
Yeah.
They're celebrating Canada Day with a special poutine donut that will only be sold in the United States.
I'm so fucking choked. I want a poutine donut. That combines two of my favorite foods.
What the hell is a poutine donut?
That's what I was about to ask.
Well, so it's like a donut, it's a gravy with like French fries, but... and some other things, cheese curds, gravy.
So afterwards, you'll be Putin.
Cheese curds, gravy, French fries on a donut.
God, that sounds horrible.
Oh yeah, it looks
there's
super
a reason.
Disgusting.
There's a reason it's only sold in countries with socialized healthcare.
Oh,
I want to dip bacon strips in this.
Oh man,
that actually. Well, I mean, bacon makes everything better, but what'd we get? What'd we get? Somebody sent me a link. Oh, jeez. This is one of those. Low download for free. Okay, why not? Stack, what are we getting here?
You asked for a new audio clip.
I did ask for an audio clip. Should I play this on the air?
Sure.
All right. Broadcast box is slow as ever.
I have a strange urge to fuck my sister right now.
Also noted, RU apparently has a sister.
Is she hot?
Yeah. I'm touching that.
So that's another clip that you need for the soundboard now.
Just Madman saying, is she hot?
No, well, between the two of them, you clip it together, you have RU say, I have a strange urge, and then Madman going,
well, no,
is she
no,
hot?
No, that's fair. It was on the show. We can clip that. Yes.
Yeah.
It is being recorded. So, speaking of shit that's being recorded, this next article is from Ars Technica. Judge refuses to order fix for court software that put people in jail by mistake.
What? Why?
On Wednesday, a California appeals court denied efforts to overturn a county court's decision not to intervene in an ongoing dispute between the public defender's office and the administrative arm of the Alameda County Superior Court itself. The dispute is allegedly over a flaw in the court's software. The public defender, Brendan Woods, has argued since December of 2016 that a recent upgrade is inadequate for Alameda County and has resulted in many mistaken jailings. In March 2017, a local judge rejected Woods' demand to fix the software, which is known as Odyssey Court Manager, and is made by Tyler Technologies. The First Appellate District, a state-level appeals court based in San Francisco, ruled that Woods lacked standing to bring the appeal in his own right, even if there was standing, The plaintiffs did not establish that they would suffer harm or prejudice in a manner that cannot be corrected on appeal. Not be corrected on appeal.
I'm wrongly imprisoned, but I can appeal, thus you don't have to let me out of prison. That's their argument.
I'm making sure I understood that correctly.
Yeah, I was struggling too, but...
Oh. All right, so we're losing Suave. He just apparently ate a bad burrito and is going to be spending the rest of the evening in the closet, so...
That toilet wine for you.
Yep, that'll happen.
See you guys.
See ya. They also failed to show that they lack any adequate remedy at law, and they may move for correction of erroneous records at any time, the First District continued. As ours reported in December 2016, the Alameda County Superior Court switched from a decades-old courtroom management system to a much newer, more modern one on August 1st, 2016. Since then, the Public Defender's Office has filed approximately 2,000 motions informing the court that, due to its reportedly imperfect software, many of its clients have been forced to serve unnecessary jail time, be improperly arrested, or even wrongly registered as sex offenders.
Oh.
Damn!
Oh.
So not only are they in prison, but now they're going to have something that follows their record?
The rest of their life.
Woods, Alameda County Court Executive Officer Chad Fink and Tyler Technologies were not immediately available for comment. And they updated the article today about 5:20 Eastern. Fink sent ours an email earlier on Thursday responding to our query as to how the efforts to resolve the ongoing errors have gone. The current backlog is right around 1,000 cases. So it's come down quite a bit. And I would say, yes, the rate of errors have dropped quite a bit since then. So they acknowledge there's problems with the software. They're admitting there's problems with the software, and they're just saying, no, you can fix it on appeal.
This sounds like a class action lawsuit to me.
Many states have indemnified themselves against lawsuits for wrongful imprisonment.
Frustrates me.
What the hell is this thing Suave sent?
No, yeah, don't watch it.
No.
Yeah.
The
fuck?
Yeah.
Well, okay, apparently Suave watches weird porn. Anyways,
that's why he had to leave all of a sudden.
We're going to do everybody a favor and not post that one in the IRC. Next up is from the BBC, and Are you told me that we had to do this story. U.S. woman shoots boyfriend in YouTube stunt.
It's a prank, bro.
It's just a prank, bro.
No stunt.
A Minnesota woman has been charged over the fatal shooting of her boyfriend and what authorities say was a social media stunt gone wrong. Well, anytime you have the phrase social media stunt and fatal shooting, I assume it went wrong. Mona Lisa Perez. There's a name. Lisa Perez, 19, was booked into a county jail after shooting at Pedro Ruiz as he held a book to his chest believing it would stop the bullet. No, officer, I thought the book was going to save him. That's what happens in the movies, right?
Eagle 50
caliber. It was a 50 cal.
Yeah, but this story just got dark. The couple's 3-year-old child and nearly 30 onlookers watched as she fired the fatal bullet into his chest. So she killed him in front of their 3-year-old.
Hey, dude, remember something from when you were 3. You can't remember, Dick. The kid won't remember.
I actually do remember some things from when I was very young.
Yeah, if Mort starts sobbing, we know they weren't good.
They're just stupid. But I'm able to remember walking under tables and smacking doors and shit like that.
Okay.
Ruiz's aunt said they did it to increase their social media following. Well, you got a media following.
Successful.
Claudia Ruiz told WDATV that her nephew had told her he wanted to do the stunt because we want more viewers, we want to get famous. Well, infamous, maybe. He had told me the idea, and I said, don't do it. Why are you going to use a gun? Why? Claudia Ruiz told the news. Well, in hindsight, right?
A nine mil. They might have been okay with a 9 mil.
22, for God's sake. If you're going to shoot at somebody, at least one that's just going to piss them off. They were in love. They loved each other, she said. It was just a prank gone wrong. Just a prank, bro. Miss Perez, who is pregnant, is facing charges of second-degree manslaughter. She faces her first court appearance on Wednesday. County Attorney James Brew described the book as a hardcover encyclopedia and said the weapon was a 50-caliber Desert Eagle handgun. Police have seized two cameras, which are said to have recorded Monday's incident. The single gunshot was fired about 1 foot away as neighbors gathered to watch outside the Minnesota home. They had a crowd watching this.
Oh, yeah. They were telling
somebody,
people.
Somebody
arrest every single one of them.
Yeah. Somebody would have went, guys. Stop!
At least put goggles on. Think about your eyes.
Eye protection. Or, you know, maybe try shooting the book without somebody behind it first to see what's going to happen. You know, off camera.
Yeah. A 50-cal Desert Eagle will go through a car.
Look, this is the sad reflection of what YouTube has become now. In its waning state of people looking for views, because the content is so regulated that if you say one wrong word inappropriate, your video gets flagged, but blow your boyfriend away and you'll get famous.
Well, so it goes on here. She told deputies the stunt had been Ruiz's idea and that he had to convince her to do it. They even show her tweet saying, you know, most dangerous video ever, his idea, not mine. You know, which apparently was, you know, the day before.
It was planned. She went through with it. She is culpable.
Yeah.
Premeditated murder.
I don't know about murder. They at least have negligent manslaughter.
Negligent manslaughter.
So here's the quote. Everyone was crying. I was standing behind that tree over there, and that was it. I couldn't take it anymore, so I had to go back home. Neighbor Wayne Cameron told WDATV. The couple had started a YouTube channel in March aiming to show the real life of a young couple who have to be teen parents.
16 and pregnant. They're fun to be fucking 16 and pregnant. Oh, God.
Their IQ is not up there to start
well,
with.
Well, now, how old is she? Because they have a three... She's 19. Fuck, she's 19.
Don't do the math.
And they have a three-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, the gene pool at that end is rather shallow. I just feel bad for the kids, you know. Like, that little girl's now going to be a ward of the state. She's going to have a pregnancy in prison. You know, the only thing to be thankful is she didn't realize what she'd done straight away and turn the gun immediately on herself and kill herself.
50-cal Desert Eagles, I think, are single shot.
What?
I believe they are.
Wouldn't they have a magazine?
It's a 50-cal handgun. No.
I'm gun ignorant, madman. I'm gun ignorant. Didn't Dirty Harry have 6 shots?
Yeah, but he was also shooting a .45.
Ah.
This gun, anti-tank rifles are 50 caliber. They shoot depleted uranium shells. So if she got the right bullet, she could try to take out a tank.
And they just sell this shit at Walmart, right?
No, they don't shoot and sell that at Walmart.
No, yeah, I think he actually... Do 50 cals are the ones... No, you don't have to get a license to get a 50 cal, though. A dealer's license, I mean. There are guns you have to get special licenses for.
This does not sound like a gun you want to keep in a house.
You going to rob somebody's house if they have it?
Well, if it's a single shot, they've got one chance. I'm a gambling man.
You
want
to take that chance?
I'm a gambling man. Yeah.
Whoa. A Desert Eagle, more than one shot, yes.
One? Oh, was it more than one?
Yeah, it's like a 5 or 6 round shot.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, so, yeah, see previous statement, luckily she didn't turn it on herself, but judging by the IQ, it probably didn't become aware straight away that she'd blown her boyfriend away.
Yep.
Well, I'm thinking, again, if it was me, and I realize there's a difference of thought pattern here, I would have gone out in the backyard with that encyclopedia and shot it once with the gun with nobody behind it, except maybe a dirt pile, just to, you know, be sure that it's going to work.
Well, not only that, where was was she at again?
They're in their backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the neighbors are all around. So, like, probably in the city?
Discharging a firearm within the city limits. Whew. Yeah, those people who watched also should be charged.
Yeah.
With negligence.
Accessory to crime.
Yeah. I mean, somebody should have been looking at that going, this is a bad idea.
Especially in a country that, you know, you've grown up around guns, you have an idea of what caliber does. Like, if they were two, like, Australian teens or something like that, somehow got hold of one of these firearms, yeah, I could sort of see how not having the knowledge of what sort of caliber that is, what damage it would do, but these are Americans, man.
Where were they? Is it California?
Hang on, I closed the tab.
Did California allow 50 cals? I don't think they may, but
Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay, so they're in a more gun culture state. The reason I'm asking is America overall may have a better, more of a gun culture than the rest of the world. It's actually segmented. Like the Southeast, very gun heavy, you grow up around them. If you live in Illinois or California, you don't. It's not a gun state.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, we have to. If we ever drive through Illinois, we have to be careful because where the area Madman and I and Static are is very gun-friendly. And if you have the right paperwork, most of the states around us don't give a fuck, right? But if you even go anywhere near Illinois with a handgun and you don't have an Illinois permit, you will be arrested.
I don't think they're going to be able to pay anybody to enforce those laws come very soon, Morp, so you won't have to worry about it.
That might be true. But yeah, like even trying to go to a gun range there is just, I mean, it's crazy. So, anyways, the next article is from the Register. Did I post the links yet? No, I don't believe I have. Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have. All right. Heaps of Windows 10 internal builds, private source code leak online. Exclusive, a massive trove of Microsoft's internal Windows operating system builds and chunks of its core source code have leaked online. The data, some 32 terabytes, which that's a lot, of official and non-public installation images and software blueprints that compressed down to 8 terabyte were uploaded to betaarchive.com. Unfortunately, it's all been pulled by now. The latest load of files provided just earlier this week. It's believed that confidential data in this dump was exfiltrated from Microsoft's in-house systems around March this year. The leaked code is Microsoft's shared source kit. According to people who have seen its contents, it includes a source to base Windows 10 hardware drivers, plus Redmond's PNP code, USB and Wi-Fi stacks, its storage drivers, and its ARM-specific one kernel code. People who have this information can scour it for vulnerabilities, which could be exploited to hack Windows systems worldwide. The code runs at the heart of the operating system and some of its most trusted levels. It is supposed to be for Microsoft hardware manufacturers and select customer eyes only. Unfortunately, it's not the total Windows code. When I first read the article, I was really hoping it was like the kernel and like the DirectX drivers, because if it was and somebody got their hands on it, imagine how good wine would be 6 months from now. There'd be no reason to run Windows anymore. Everybody'd be on Linux and running Wine to get their Windows programs to work.
That would be amazing.
I mean, Windows would be gone in a couple of years. And the only reason I give it that long is because corporations need time to redeploy. But, that didn't happen. It's less than that. There was, like, entire ARM builds uploaded, though. In addition to this, top-secret builds of Windows 10 and Windows Server 2016, none of which have been released to the public, have been leaked among copies of officially released versions. The confidential Windows team-only internal builds were created by Microsoft engineers for bug hunting and testing purposes, include private debugging symbols that are usually stripped out of public releases. So it's all the extra print statements that throw out on the console what the code is actually doing so you can figure out where the problems are. Nobody else, if anybody has coded, they know what I'm talking about. If they haven't coded, they think I'm crazy. This software includes, for example, pre-release Windows 10 Redstone builds. They actually named a Windows build after Minecraft. My God. Well, they did buy it, didn't they?
Well, dude, just look at the NSA or the CIA's list of tools and what they named them after. Come on.
No, that's true.
Expect true. Anything less.
unreleased 64-bit ARM flavors of Windows, and unreleased 64-bit ARM flavors of Windows. There are, we think, too many versions now dumped online for Microsoft to revoke via its secure boot mechanism, meaning the tech giant can't use its firmware security mechanism to prevent people from booting the pre-release operating systems. Also in the leak are multiple versions of Windows 10 Mobile Adaptation Kit, a confidential software tool set to get the operating system running on various portable and mobile devices. Netizens with access to Beta Archive's private repo material can even now still get hold of the divulged data completely for free. It's described as a bigger leak than when some of the Windows 2000 source code hit it in 2004. The spokesperson for Microsoft said our review confirms that these files are actually a portion of the source code from the Shared Source Initiative and is used by OEMs and partners. So this is the stuff they would give people who are writing Windows drivers, like they'd give to NVIDIA. Or they'd give to AMD or Intel, right?
Yeah.
Or the government. So.
It's a big dump, though. What was it? Yeah. 4 terabytes?
8 terabytes compressed.
Wow.
What was it? 32 terabytes of code uncompressed. Beta Archives administrators are in the process of removing non-public Microsoft components and builds from its FTP servers and forums. All mentions of the Shared Source Kit have been erased from its June 19 posts, and apparently a lot of people have taken screenshots. The screenshots are disappear between Microsoft Windows 10 debug symbols and the Diamond Monster 3D 2 starter pack. So, Source Kit is supposed to be only available to qualified customers, enterprises, and governments, and partners for debugging and reference purposes. So this leak didn't necessarily come from Microsoft itself. This could be, you know, something they gave a customer that leaked out. Yeah, it did exist on the FTP before, right up until the article was published, and then they removed it. So, long gone by now, because the article was actually published on June the 23rd, so Wednesday. But I'm sure if you know what torrent sites or use sites
say,
or whatever else, it's all out there.
It's out there somewhere. So. It probably is Cycros.
What did he say? Oh, Pirate Bay? Yeah, probably. I haven't looked, but it probably is. It almost would be worth looking just to see if you could grab some of that and like get a Sidgwin instance up or something. Or not Sidgwin. QMU. QMU is what I'm thinking, because you can run the ARM code on your desktop with that.
All I know, man, I'd be getting a please explain from my ISP if I was getting terabytes worth of fucking downloads.
I'm learning to develop operating system, sir. So, next,
it's completely fine. I'm backing up all the porn on the internet.
I found all of the porn. Just all of it. Even the creepy shit. Next article is from CNET and was sent to me by Static. Google News facelift focuses on showing you the facts. The new format wants to help you browse the news and see whether a given item is one of the most fact-checked stories of the day. Also from the Ministry of Truth. That's just a lump. You don't need to worry about it.
Hi, Mr. Smith. We're from Google, and we've been looking at your history, and you may have depression. Please take these pills.
Google News got a redesign this week that's more about facts than fonts. As with any redesign, the aim is to present a cleaner, uncluttered page that makes content easier to find and digest. The desktop news page has adopted a card format that helps you browse for stories, which will generally be labeled with publisher names and tags such as local source, most reference, or opinion to provide the most context about the issues represented. One of those labels is Fact Check, which Google has been using for some time in search results. The label gets attached to stories from a credible fact-checking source like PolitiFact or Snopes, when they pop up in the searches. It's now being extended to Google News headline section, showing a dedicated block of the most fact-checked stories recently published. Facts are at the heart of a story's credibility, Google said Wednesday in an introduction to the redesign. The spread of misinformation has been a high-profile problem for the world's biggest tech companies. After Donald Trump was elected president in November, some of his detractors argued that misinformation on Facebook helped him win. Facebook has since tried to curb fake news by adding fact check labels of its own. Both Facebook that's a Freudian slip. Both Facebook and Google have also amended their advertising policies to try to ensure fake news stories don't make any money. Google's news page also includes a column on the left that you can customize with topics of particular interest to you. Shouldn't that have been like the most important thing? It's like, oh yeah, now you can customize news, and oh yeah, we're also going to put some labels in about fact check. No. 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 We are the Ministry of Truth. Don't worry about the SS uniforms. We got them at discount. I mean, it's just, come on, guys. Fucking really?
It's just news they want you to know about.
Hang on, guys. This article doesn't have a fact check. Doesn't have a fact check tag.
Dragons. Reading it anyway.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah.
And I love it. I bet many of the fact checked videos are still gonna say anonymous sourced.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
How can you check that fact? You don't know who gave it to you. The anonymous source could have been Madman. I will let you know that bastard is biased and ignorant.
Sir, what was your source? I can't reveal that. Why not? Because you'll think the little fairy who lives on my shoulder is lying to me.
That's where I get my news.
I've made a sock puppet. He whispers in my ear and tells me things about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, but that article right after all the shit with CNN, fucking really? You think they're not going to put the fact check label on CNN? Imagine the lawsuit if they didn't.
What's with CNN? I stopped following anything about them ages ago.
Oh,
but they've done
dude.
Something stupid again.
Oh, Project Veritas secretly interviewed one of their producers. Flat out admitted they had no evidence of any Russian collusion with Trump and that they were just ginning it up for ratings.
Oh, nice.
Not only that, but they did have to pull one of their articles from their website.
Oh, yeah, they fired three guys.
Due to it being a lie, and they fired three of their reporters. Now, granted, them firing three of the reporters is an attempt to fix it. So I have to give them some kudos there. But
did they fire the three reporters? They fired the three reporters responsible for that story, or just randomly picked out the new arrivals?
I think it's the ones responsible, but
I'm hoping the ones
that
are responsible,
just, you know,
but I think either one would work as terrorists, especially if one of those guys had been there for like 20 years. It's like if somebody fucks up, three people are randomly getting fired.
So they're taking the dictatorial powers like that, you know, for every one fuck up, I will fire three of you. You're all responsible for each other now.
Yeah, and just point out, whenever you're fired, we will tell you who fucked up.
This is how you get piled, strapped down to the bed, and beaten with soap in the sock. I mean, it's just...
Exactly. That's what I mean. Are they going to that sort of level over at CNN?
Well, it's... okay, you gotta think about the way companies work, right? That's the culture in there. They didn't question these articles because they believed them. They, you know, whoever looked at this stuff that they were, because the reason they retracted it is because the guy they were accusing of having all these Russian connections threatened to sue him.
Oh, really? The person that should have been fired is the copy editor for not checking it.
So,
not the writers.
But okay, enough about beating up CNN because I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah,
too
sorry,
much, but,
got us off track.
But it's a fair point though. How are they determining what they're putting on there? I mean, they said, you know, they listed out what? Snopes and what was the other one? PolitiFact. Well, people have been picking apart PolitiFact and showing that it's biased. So.
Everything inherently has some bias to it.
Well, sure. And if you admit that, by, like, flat out right now, I'm fairly libertarian. Madman's fairly libertarian. I don't know what the hell Static is. I think he's whatever's convenient at the moment. And RU's fairly communist, I think?
No, I'm an asshole.
Asshole, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there. We just listed out all of our points of view. So if you think something's biased, yeah, it probably is, and that's where it's coming from, and I don't hide that fact.
Like, I'm voting no for gay marriage. The simple fact, not that I don't think a gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. I think it's just funnier watching them yell and scream that they can't have their own way.
I was expecting
that's cool
to
being
get
an asshole.
That Static what I said about him too. So,
I'll let it go.
I don't know what medication they put you on, but it's making you far too chill. Not as much fun. It's like messing with my Zen thing, man.
It's working then. That's what I told them I wanted it to do.
They're giving you the round pills because it's taking all the edges off you.
I have the round pills, the long pills, the square pills. I'm taking 20 plus pills a day, dude.
We know what he's taking. We know exactly what he's taking.
Smoke weed every day.
I wish.
All right, let's stop picking on each other. Yo! Hadouken! All right. I have two extremely related projects today in Digital Dojo. The first is a command line utility called ARIA 2. And it is a lightweight, multi-protocol, multi-source download utility that's meant for... they've got versions for OS X, Windows, and Android. And it can pull in files from HTTP, HTTPS, FTP, SFTP, BitTorrent, and Metalink. So the idea is you have this command line utility you just throw a URL at and it will download. And it, you know, if it's BitTorrent, if it's multi Metalink, if it's FTP, STP, it doesn't matter. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's the point of that? I can just download it through a web browser or whatever tool, right? Well, it's a single tool, so you can have scripts throw shit at it. So like you could like it'd be easy to have like the one thing it'll let you do is it'll let you take like a text file, so you can actually feed it a text file full of URIs and it'll download them all, the BitTorrents, FTP, STP, whatever, right? So it's a fairly fancy downloader. But then on top of that, project number two for this, and I forgot to post links, so let me post links before I go to project number two. That's what we do. We throw the links in the IRC as we're doing them. So if you don't want to wait on me to post the show to see the links, get in the fucking IRC. 9 o'clock Central is roughly when I try to start, depending on how much I've had to drink and you know whether or not I got home at a decent hour. And okay, so then the extra project on top of ARIA 2 is a web UI for ARIA 2. That apparently is they originally got it funded through Google Summer of Code in like 2012, but they're still updating it. So you can install this web front end to the ARIA 2 command, and now you've got a nice interface for throwing download links at. So I'm thinking, you know, you have a NAS at home, or maybe just a machine with a big hard drive, or a Raspberry Pi with a 3 terabyte USB drive attached to it, with an OpenVPN client set up on it, so while you're at work, you throw your download links at it, and it just downloads them at home. Or on a VM, or on an extra workstation, or you're bored and set it up on like a DigitalOcean drop-in. I don't care. There's all kinds of ways to use this thing. So, anyways, though, it's a web front-end that you can throw URLs at, and it will download them. Actually, Cycross has a great idea in the phone, in the IRC. Set it up on your desktop. Set it up so your phone can get to your desktop through the web interface or whatever. And that way on your phone, you find a link you want to download. You just throw it in the web interface. Boom. And now it's downloading on your home PC. Excellent. That's a fantastic use for it. I was thinking server sessions, but, I mean, that's a great use too. So that's all I've really got, but
this is your automated TV thing you've been working on, isn't it?
It's related to that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the idea was to throw the video links into Sickbeard so that you get the automated video management, so that the UPnP or the media player hooked up to the TV just picks up whatever TV shows it downloaded in the background on the Usenets. Anyways. Swalve is already left, and he would know what I'm talking about. Static, Madman, are you? Thoughts?
I have nothing.
Nothing?
I think it could be cool, but I've actually found a lot of legitimate sites for just watching my TV shows now.
Yeah. You have to pay?
No.
No. The CW, you were watching Babylon 5. They've actually put all of Babylon 5 on that website.
Okay.
And if you have ad block, you don't have commercials.
Okay, cool. Send me some links later on.
Okay.
So that's all I've really got tonight. My cat is chewing on my ankle. Madman, closing thoughts.
Back up your hard drives so that you don't have to pay ransomware. You'll save money.
Datic,
and fix other problems.
Yeah, you will fix other problems. Datic, closing thoughts.
The meds are good.
Meds are good. Excellent. Are you? I can't call it future news because I think Suave will beat me up. Closing thoughts.
As I said, man, I have nothing. It's been a slow week.
All right. Well, that's I think that's our hour.
Hour 10.
Hour 10? Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know, Cycross is in there pushing Cody on us.
I have no idea what it is.
It used to be called XBMC. It's just a media player, but it will pick up every fucking thing. The idea is you just grab an old PC and throw it on there, or get like a Raspberry Pi and set up one of the pre-built distributions on there. It usually works, and it'll pick up UPnP, it'll pick up SMB shares, it'll pick up all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Basically, whatever you set up, and it's a media player. The idea is you hook it up to your TV, and there are all kinds of plugins out there for it. Most of which get shut down fairly quickly. And the Kodi project actually hates them because they're like, "No, we're not a pirate platform. Please stop turning us into a pirating platform." But it's open source, so people keep writing plugins for pulling in like Popcorn Time or Elysium or other stuff.
That would be great, but I've had to go back to analog stuff at the moment due to net outages and things like that. I'll have a look at that Kodi thing.
The other thing you can do with Kodi is you pair that with the Open Directory subreddit, because you'll occasionally see people's media file or media service thrown out there that'll have tons of TV shows. So then you take the Area 2 thing I just talked about, use that to download all of their TV shows onto your own system, and you stream them on your Kodi box to your TV.
Nice.
So, yeah, there's a whole world out there of, like, automated media downloading and moving shit around. So, I'm not exactly treading new ground with what I was talking about, Madman, but I'll probably end up coding some of my own stuff just to do it.
Have you looked into loading Kodi on Amazon Stick?
Yeah, I can do that.
It works well.
That's what I hear. The other thing I've heard that works really well, and because it's on sale right now for like $15, is apparently the Steam Link. You can minimize it or minimize the Steam Big Picture mode and get like just your desktop streaming on it. So apparently that works really well with some mods to Kodi as well. So now I'm actually thinking about ordering one because it's like, you know, you saw it's $15 versus the $50, and it's like, I don't know that that would do anything beyond a Raspi. So, yeah. I don't know.
I get an old laptop. I might do that after I have some lunch after the show.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole world out there doing that kind of shit. So, that's all I've got. And the cat is still chewing on my ankles, so need to wrap up the show and get him off there before I lose a foot.
Better your ankle than the cat cable.
Yeah. Anyways, I think I'm just going to play the Pac-Man noise and stop recording.